Welcome to Dynasty Think Tank. I'm Chad Parsons. He is Jordan McNamara. We share our research, experience, and acumen to build Dynasty winners and unlock ceiling outcomes. Now is the time to seek elite results. Big thoughts and big free agency moves across the NFL here. We're going to break down some of the biggest parts, but we also did a long-form discussion for more than an hour on the premium side of Dynasty Think Tank at Patreon. So you want to check that out this week. But Kirk Cousins, huge contract. He's navigated the business of NFL contracts exceptionally well. How about 4 for 180? A lot of allegiance there. Got those extra years for Atlanta moving over there. Minnesota, they're now wandering in the Sam Darnold woods and possibly bringing in a rookie. But huge uptick from what you saw Atlanta's quarterback play last year to now Kirk Cousins infused in this offense for 2024 and beyond.
They have an actual functional quarterback, so it'll be interesting to see what these guys can do. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. By the way, Darnell Mooney as well, right? A functional offense there, as opposed to, running, I don't know, Cordarrelle Patterson end arounds last year and doing that sort of stuff with, like, offset tackles and all that stuff that Arthur Smith thought was fun. We're going to get to an actual functional offense this year, and I think it's going to be really interesting to watch. I would just be careful, and I would draw from the Russell Wilson experience that new coaching staff, new offensive coordinators never called plays. Guy coming off of an injury at 36 years old, changing teams. Let's be careful on paying like 100 cents on the dollar. For 110 cents on the dollar for guys like Kyle Pitts and guys like Drake London, right? This is good news for them. Let's not put them into the elites without a proof of concept first, is really, I think, probably the biggest advice point that I would give to folks out there, listening or thinking about how to make moves on these players. Like, there's a percentage of this that it doesn't work out for a variety of reasons I just mentioned. I would just be careful on elevating him, on elevating the guys that are impacted by this to the elite levels of the position based just on this news.
Yeah, because as promising as Drake London is, almost 2 yards per route run for his career. Kyle Pitts is well up there within the tight end position career-wise. And that really says something because they've had to wander through poor quarterback play so far. So promising, yes, but again, some high-level players don't really need perfect situation to produce, in their early years and show more promise than we've seen from, say, Kyle Pitts and Drake London. So you can like them, but I think what you're saying is don't anoint them and don't crown them. You're doing the data screen. Don't crown them, because they haven't done it. And like you said, there's a range of outcomes that this does not work overly well. And we know, Drake London was already going reasonably high. This is only going to push him higher. And I think I wouldn't be surprised once we see the market value settle a little bit that while I have Drake London inside the top 15 for Dynasty, I still wouldn't be surprised if the market's higher than me. So that wouldn't surprise me. And then obviously for Kyle Pitts, I mean, we were already at a point previously where Kyle Pitts was tight end one in Dynasty. So to say that the market couldn't get out of control crazy on Kyle Pitts now is something that we shouldn't assume because he did it without the production and without Kirk Cousins and without all these things, just because he's Kyle Pitts. So the fact that he could easily get there and make it like Sam Laporta, who at some point from a market value perspective, just because of how hot he's already been, and this is only going to fuel that flame. The secondary quarterbacks, this is something that, again, you got to be obviously super flex centric. You got to be interested in the deep annals and cave outlines here across the position. But I thought when you study contracts enough, when you study team dynamics and some of these situations, these peripheral options of what are teams going to do, the Jacoby Brissett getting decent money at New England, Gardner Minshew, multiple years, $25 million from the Raiders. You get a Mac Jones trade to Jacksonville, securing a backup spot. Winston going to Cleveland, that kind of perks you up. Drew Lock going to the Giants, that's an up in the air situation. Sam Darnold getting $10 million to go to Minnesota, who lost Kirk Cousins. These are the types of this can matter when you get to this season, and speculating ahead on what outs these teams have versus what they just got is very key in the premium formats.
Yeah, we saw it last year with just the quarterback backup starts went on and on and on last year, and guys that made differences too. So again, this is a market that matters. I want to hone in on the Minshew one. We talked about Brissett, we talked about Darnold on the premium side this week. By the way, almost an hour and a half of free agent coverage there this week. So go ahead and catch all that. But Darnold, but excuse me, but Minshew. 2 for 25, $15 million guaranteed. That's starter money. Like that's certainly in the realm of like low end starter money. And that's one that leaves me to believe they could be a team that I think some thought could be a trade up candidate. I would be I this leaves them the ability to not do that. Right.
Lower
And
the odds of that, yeah.
It definitely leaves them with the ability to maybe take someone on day two or whatever it is. And maybe they have their eyes on someone on day two that, hey, we like someone at, in the 40s, but we're not sure he's going to get there. We want Minshew and we want to kind of see how this plays out. And again, like while it's good money, if they have some belief in Aiden O'Connell, right? That's another avenue to say, okay, like he can still win this job, a la the way that Russell Wilson beat out a guy like Matt Flynn, right? So like there's that avenue as well, that it doesn't necessarily preclude them from going the route of Aiden O'Connell.
And the same thing works for the Vikings. They're in a precarious zone where these teams in the teens, if they don't trade up in round one, they might not get their guy. And trusting that your guy falls to the 40s in round two is not a guarantee either. So you kind of need some plan in the bag. And Sam Darnold, one thing we discussed in depth, so I'll just share one micro point that we mentioned, but just Sam Darnold has never been in a situation quite this good. It doesn't mean he's good. But having the fostered system of what Minnesota could offer in 2024 could offer his best chance to perform to whatever requisite ceiling he has within him. So that's a pretty interesting thing to track with the Vikings, that they don't have a lot of capital and they could be on the outside looking in round one and in round two in that zone of anyone that might challenge Sam Darnold for week one starterhood. At the running back group, we talked about it again in depth, as Jordan said, on the premium side. But Zach Moss is one we didn't cover all that much. We made a couple side comments after we recorded and banked that show. Zach Moss was one that you've heard the buzz on social media that, oh, he's going to have a lot of interest here from NFL teams. He secured a spot, two-year, $8 million. So it's not big money when you consider what some of the running backs were getting. One thing we discussed is that they're not opposed to paying running backs, but what we saw is teams aren't paying their own running backs, just generally, and they're not going to give them assurances in year three, year four, and going long lens to really get burned by dead money. So Zach Moss goes into Cincinnati, and you were commenting about the betting angle of what his over under was for rushing yards, and also the fact that we're not done with this. They like Chase Brown. They left Joe Mixon by the side of the road, and they could easily add to this position as well. So it's competitive on the current depth chart, and we could see a third running back infused into this.
Yeah, color me skeptical based on watching Zach Moss's early season or early career arc in Buffalo, and then seeing him basically go on like a 6 week heater last year. And like, color me skeptical on that guy being like a foundational bell cow running back. I'll take the under on that. And so that was my initial reaction to that deal. And I do think this, again, like the some of the quarterback contracts we're talking about, this one leaves open the ability to go out and actually address a position on day two of the draft, right? Which wouldn't shock me. So, that was my initial reaction to that. Again, I saw his market come in at like 900 rushing yards. Like, that screams under to me this year.
To keep this in perspective, he got slightly more than Gus Edwards. So it's on the relative low end here of impactful market moving dynamics. And this is close to what Alexander Mattison got to stay in Minnesota a year ago. And let's remember what happened there. He actually
Didn't go well,
lost the
Chad.
job.
It didn't go
Yeah,
well.
teaser. Teaser. He got released 1 year into it and he lost his job before that. And you don't see a lot of running back literally just lost the job. Not to some groomed, round two pick and he looks promising and he just runs with the job at some point in time. No, just we're going to give Ty Chandler a shot, later day three guy and just not you, someone other than you. And then he doesn't even get the second year of his, what was it, like $3 million this year? No, that's too much. You're gone. Bye. Sayonara. Like that. I mean, could we see that happen with Zach Moss? Absolutely. We could absolutely see something like that occurring. And you know what? Instead of Ty Chandler, it is Chase Brown, or could even be more added competition to come. So just keep that in mind with Zach Moss as you have sugar plum fairies dancing through your head of potential outcomes that you have someone that provided some value for you last year, but you are not just in the on easy street on cruise control till week one as it currently sits. Kirk Cousins wanted to include him and find a saucy deal, found a did I get enough trade this week. Josh Allen on the move for Kirk Cousins, 24 first. We can talk about how high that needs to be, and a 26 first. So a couple firsts and Cousins.
I'd turn it down if it was 101.
There you go. Yeah, Cousins off Achilles, a non-rushing option, new offense. And like you said, there are avenues and pathways to say this does not go well. Minnesota, I'm sure, put forth and presented a number. And, they seemed much more confident to move on or open to it than most people on the outside would be like, really? You're just kind of open to moving on. And they had the most information of anybody on Kirk Cousins. And they didn't want to go beyond certain years or beyond certain numbers. So to assume it's going to be rainbows and butterflies in Atlanta, this is good news, but like you said in the opening, not necessarily guaranteed great news. So yes, use Kirk Cousins to move up and get an elite quarterback if this is the way to do it. And this is a pretty easy example of such.
Absolutely.
Want to include free agents in terms of some of these trades being made. These are reactionary moves, so we can get a pulse of the market here. What do you think about DeAndre Swift? He is on the move for Tony Pollard and Jerry Jeudy, all three players in new spots.
Yeah, I mean, I think Swift, it's interesting because Swift lands in a spot where you can look at it and still say, a bit similar to the way that Philly was, like, hey, there's multiple other options here that could potentially form a committee. Roshan Johnson, a lot of people like. There's some metrics that support Khalil Herbert. I'm not sure what Chicago sees in Swift, and I don't say that as an insult. What I mean is, I don't think they got the receiving stuff out of Swift that everyone would have projected when he went to Philly, but they got the rushing side of Swift. Part of me wonders if there's the looming out there is the possibility of a Leonard Fournette or Josh Jacobs type season where, hey, we've seen it as a rusher, we've seen it as a receiver, we've never seen it together. Does it ever come together? My concern about that is, Roshan Johnson and Khalil Herbert are there, and I don't know how big the snap share is going to be for Swift. Right, that's the concern for that perspective. But if you wanted to tell me, like, hey, there's a, what player has that in his range of outcomes? Like, I think Swift would be on the list of guys that would su could surprise from deep because he's got both skill sets. They've just never come together in the same season.
Yeah, I'll mention. I'm concerned about Pollard, and I don't think Jeudy makes up the difference. So I wouldn't call myself overly bullish on any of the pieces. But if Jeudy doesn't even count, you just kind of have to take the running back you like the most. And I would take Swift here. Part of it is just he's 2 years younger. So the prime window is far more open. I'm more open to that situation working out or the Bears with a 1-on-1 quarterback, being a rising offense or turning into, baby Green Bay or something this year, and rising from we don't know what's going to happen to turning out to be pretty good, something like that. So I would just take it from that, just because Judy, I think, is in a pretty tough spot to really emerge to something that matters. One more Pollard one. We have Pollard cross positionally for Russell Wilson.
I think, man, the Russell Wilson hate out there is pretty interesting. The problem that I would have with this deal is like, what is your aim? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Are you just trying to get into the quarterback business, whether you're trying to fill out a quarterback two spot? Like, I'd probably aim higher than that. And you know, if is that a quarterback three, like to what end? Right? Like, there's no guarantee that he's the long, you know, that he's there week one. There's no guarantee he's the season long guy. There's no guarantee that he's a starter beyond this year, right? I don't know if your goal is, hey, I'm going to get a quarterback to sort of, you know, try and get in the marketplace and move up from. I don't think Russell Wilson is like an avenue towards that. So I come back to it and I look at it and I'm like, okay, I could pitch myself on how Pollard could be an upgrade piece. I think if you trade Pollard for Russell Wilson, despite going to a premium position, you're actually getting less liquid with that player, which is somewhat surprising given the positions. I would usually go the other way, but that's my concern with this deal.
Okay. I would take Wilson. I think it's a pretty easy price. As we know, it's hard to get a quarterback that can start for you without giving one up generally. And one thing I would say is if, you know, you don't really have a QB3 answer, you know, maybe you didn't hit on guys that give you options or that you're comfortable with, if that's Minshew or Brissett or, you know, whatever you're hoping to get maybe for week one outs. And if you go towards and now you have another quarterback, when someone else has injuries, you have something to offer. And it may not be super exciting, but that's when you can pounce and get return value, or maybe you're shifting Wilson to a wide receiver at that time, premium tight end, you know, in that format, or getting an injured quarterback that's higher up. So I don't know if Pollard gives you those options. Now, Wilson has some risk, so maybe you don't get those options after all. But if he wins that job, I think early in the season, you have those possibilities on the table where, you know, if Pollard doesn't come out relatively hot, you know, I think you can dissipate all that, which will be a pretty buzzkill. So I do think, to some degree, I do think it does get you more liquid positional value-wise.
And by the way, they're pretty close in terms of their valuations at Fantasy Calc. 104 for Tony Pollard, 115 for Russell Wilson. So again,
Okay.
it's a fair thing. Pollard's running back is running back 19 at present. Russell Wilson's quarterback 28.
Do you think Pollard's going to be moving up a little bit, or was it already kind of factored in he was going to get a lead job, you think?
It's funny because Spears is 17, so we'll see
Yeah.
how that
We'll see how
moves.
that shifts over the
Yeah.
next week or so.
I would think that Pollard goes over Spears would be my thought.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of ceiling there. Yeah, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen for Pollard. Like I didn't know if he was going to get a shot. Like there's a chance that he walks in there and is the day one starter. And I wasn't sure that was going to be, you know, what was in the cards for him. So we'll see on that. But again, I am skeptical based on his play last year, but I'm optimistic about his opportunity this year, if that makes sense.
Yep. We have Austin Eckler and a 24 second for Davante Adams.
Oh, Adams.
Okay.
Adams. I mean, I just Eckler was pretty not good last year. I think the market reflects that. Yeah, it's not a lot of money. If we ranked it, I think it's like sixth or seventh at the position. It's much closer to Gus Edwards than it is, you know, the meaningful fantasy or the meaningful contracts of guys like Barkley and Jacobs and Henry. I think he's closer to the end, which is my concern. And I think Adams is still a difference maker. So give me, you know, give me the receiver.
Yeah. And again, general mantra is you can shift running back to wide receiver this time of year. Generally, that's a good thing. You know, when you're repositioning and you can worry about running back and filling out some depth later. You got Derrick Henry, Jackson Smith, and Njigba for AJ Brown.
AJ Brown. I think this is a great consolidation trade. Yeah, Henry lands in a good spot. I think it was definitely the betting favorite. It was, I think a lot of people wanted him to go there. Listen, he's a 30-year-old running back. And you're taking Jackson Smith and Jigba, who I'm concerned about the initial metrics. Like, there's a couple of things I liked about him. I think we delved into him kind of in depth in a recent Patreon show. But you're getting a true answer at receiver. And like, when you can do a consolidation trade and get to a true answer at receiver from guys that you have a lot of questions about, whether age-wise or trajectory-wise, like that's a pretty easy yes to me.
Yeah. And again, it may not feel super comfortable when Derrick Henry has a few big games, but I think you have to really center yourself on 30-year-old running back. The cliff can come at any time, and he's not going to catch a bunch of balls. So there is the possibility that he still is like a lower running back one. So I think you have to keep all that in mind, if AJ Brown is not having the best start to the season and Henry's ripping it off. It's a long-term vantage point here. And Jackson Smith and Jigba locked again. That Tyler Lockett guy is pretty good. So the week continues, and JSN on a per route basis was not that great last year. So who's to say he's going to become the answer? One more here. And honestly, Jordan, this is one I sat here when I was adjusting rankings. And I chewed on these two players a decent amount. And sure enough, today they were traded straight up for each other. The rare, same position, one-on-one deal. Saquon Barkley for Kieran Williams.
I've used this line before. I'll use it again. Kyron Williams could be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and on the day of his induction ceremony, I'll still be like, "Yeah, I don't know. I just the small size. I don't know if I can truly see it like long term. Like I that'll
Day
be
three, small running back.
right.
I don't
I don't see it. He
know.
could be a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? He could be the next coming of Marshall Faulk, and
I don't
I
know
wouldn't.
sometimes.
I would still be behind the market on him. Listen, I'm gonna take Barkley. I understand why people have some concerns about Barkley. I understand why people have optimism about Kyron Williams. I am going to take the former second overall pick, who has the prototypical size, pedigree, athleticism, heading to an offense that he's going to go from the worst rushing yards expected. His the basically the worst supporting cast in terms of producing expected running back yards to the best one. Fire up the band.
Yep. That's not to say Kieran Williams has had a bad off season because they brought back Ronnie Rivers. They've solidified the offensive line. But yeah, the possibilities for Saquon Barkley joining a strong offense and a good offensive line that he's never had is maybe one of the top five things we can look forward to watching, and hopefully as NFL fans and enjoyment procurement, we can enjoy this coming fall, because we've been complaining about it for years. And yet, I think it, except for his two injury seasons, Saquon Barkley has been a top 12 adjusted points per game guy. So if that's what's happened, I mean, elite stuff is all on the table for Barkley. And Kieran Williams was elite, but Barkley could be right there too. Even if Williams is a repeat, the right answer. Do you think the Rams are one ancillary question on this? Do you think the Rams are done at running back? Like, really, Ronnie? Are they going to run back Ronnie Rivers as the number two?
It wouldn't shock me, but again, would it shock you if they went day two in the draft?
No.
It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, so because one of my theories is you have to be like, you actually want a good enough number two, or like like someone who's actually posting as a running back three, because if you're not, like, it's not good enough to prevent at additions. I mean, they tried Zach Evans, that didn't work. They brought in Royce Freeman, they've done some stuff, but Ronnie Rivers. For as much as we like him because we go for dirt cheap and clarified, and he was that. So he's like our new Malcolm Brown, but he's not enough to ward off competition and say, oh, I'm good here. Because they don't have, like, I think the Rams are fun for the draft because they could go any direction. I wouldn't be surprised if they take a developmental quarterback. I would be, I guess, a little surprised they go wide receiver, but running back right on the table. Tight end could be in play. So I just think they're a fun team because I could see them going anything at any time. And then I used
Yes.
to have them first round picks. So who knows how that goes.
Right.
But yeah, I think getting 3 years younger, taking the elite pedigree versus the you're always going to be looking over your shoulder, and like you said, you could go into the Hall of Fame, you'd be like Seinfeld, I don't know sometimes. So I think just that will always keep you scared a little bit by going Williams over Barkley.
Yes.
All right. We mentioned it before, but excuse me, After Hours this week, huge mega show on free agency. We touched on a few players and a few storylines in this episode on the main show, but what are some of the things that we kept behind the paywall here this week for our undying supportive patrons?
Talked a lot about the quarterbacks, right? The quarterback market. We talked a lot about the running backs. We gave some deeper dive stuff on one of our favorite receiver moves of the entire off season. You can go check that out as well. So a couple of quarterbacks that I think under the radar benefited from this we discussed as well. So lots of stuff over there, and it's just one of the benefits of this forum for us is it's the conversations that we have, that you and I have, that never made the air about things that were, a little bit off the radar, or things that were just, deeper dive-ish, or, the hour conversation that we would have before, prior shows on other platforms. Now we record those things and put it out to you, and that's a lot of where, some of the strategy comes into play, and some of the contrarian thoughts that we might have kind of get fleshed out, and you can hear all that on After Hours. Again, it's like an hour and a half this week. It's you're going to get 2+ hours of our reactions to free agency. And again, it's funny because this time of year, everyone's talking about rookies, everyone's talking about these sorts of things, evaluating prospects and pro days and all that stuff, right? Focus on the things that matter. There's a ton of stuff that mattered this week, a ton of it. And I think that that we have you covered in quality and quantity over on the Patreon side this week.
Hey, you can find that signing up or upgrading if you need to at patreon.com/dynastythinktank. All right, that's going to do it this week. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. As always, you want to kindly rate and review us as well. If you're always going to be a free listener, that's great for us too. But wherever you are listening, give us a rating, give us a review. We'd much appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter at Chad Parsons NFL, at McNamara Dynasty. We have our own Dynasty content channels that you can check out as well, analyticsofdynasty.com, uthdynasty.com. As always, unlock your ceiling and seek elite results.
We'll